Thank you very much for joining us today here on WPR News. Our next guest went on an epic quest, shall we say, to hike every single Wisconsin State Park. She achieved her goal, learned a lot about herself, I think, along the way, and now she has written a book to help maybe help you reflect on your life. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us. And our guest, Betsy Carbonnier, is the award-winning author of the book Time, Beauty, and Grief, A Hike Through Wisconsin's 50 State Park. She uses her 30-plus years of social work experience to weave together a professional and personal story of aging and resilience. She grew up here in Wisconsin, above a cheese factory, if I'm not mistaken, and on a century-old farm. Betsy has hiked in multiple states and in several countries, and her book was recently honored, and I can see why, it was recently honored as one of the two books chosen to represent the state, our state, at the 2025 National Book Festival in Washington, D.C. So as we talk with her, I hope you'll join in. How do you approach getting older? Have you made a goal for yourself about maybe a milestone birthday? Tell us why you enjoy hiking in our state parks, perhaps. Give a call. The number's 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Betsy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, Time, Beauty, and Grief, A Hike Through Wisconsin's 50 State Parks. It's a lot of things going on in your book.
There are. It's about the trails that I hiked. It's about doing a life review as at my 65th birthday, because I try to do those at milestone birthdays. After being a hospice social worker and doing those with many people in the last 6 months of their life, I realized that's not what I wanted to do. So I've done them for every milestone birthday. And they really help us process things that we want to let go of and reframe our regrets and find safe places for our traumas so that we can move forward and live a happier life as we get older.
Yeah, you're a very good writer.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
And I like the title. So you've got Time, Beauty, and Grief.
Yeah, I chose those words because they just sort of became part of almost every park I was in. I had lots of unusual time experiences, like at Rock Island State Park. There's a place you can stand inside the lighthouse where my friend that was hiking it with me was standing shoulder to shoulder with me, and my phone said one time on Central Time, and hers said Eastern Time. It's because it's right on the line. And
Diana, also, your friend.
Yes. And also, as you get older, time almost becomes like an entity that sort of accompanies you forward. Because when you're younger, it rolls out endlessly before you. But as you get older and you realize that it's got a finite quality to it, it becomes much more substantial in your life to think about.
Yeah. I was thinking about the cruise ad that's on public television a lot, where the guy who owns the company talks about time.
Yeah, I know which ad you're talking about. Yeah,
and I thought of that immediately when I was thinking about it, and I think he's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
In how he defines and talks about time.
Yeah.
Well, so this quest, where'd your idea come for this quest? Talk about that.
Well, when I turned 60, I went on a hike that I'd always wanted to go on since I heard about it as an eighth grader, and that was a coast-to-coast walk across England. It goes from the Irish Sea to the North Sea. And I wanted to do another big hike for my 65th birthday, but because I have a respiratory disability and it was kind of coming off COVID, I thought I needed to do something closer to home. And that's the thing with setting a quest and taking a challenge. You need to do that as you get older. You need to create novel experiences for yourself, but they also have to be within your risk tolerance level. You want to keep taking risks, which is really important, but you want to do them in a way that's maybe a little different than you did as you were younger.
Yeah, and that particular, that earlier hike was quite meaningful for you.
Yeah, it was really powerful to be able to do that. Because, again, that was a much bigger risk.
Yeah.
Traveling by myself and going on that 190-mile hike, yeah.
Yeah. So this quest, the 50-state part, well, I think it was originally you had 45 in your head.
But yeah, I was thinking I have 45 because there is a total of 50, but there's five that are just kind of odd. They're sort of odd outliers. And so I plan to hike 5 miles in each one. And I finished the 45, and I thought, well, I'll just finish the last five, and, you know, after winter, and I'll be fine. And then I ended up with one of my hiking boots in the grave, and don't want to give away too much of that, but it really taught me a lot about how things can really change really quickly, and that you have to keep finding resilience in yourself. And I think that's, well, that's one of the reasons why I added beauty to the title, because that's where I find resilience, is in seeking beauty and being in beautiful places. So that really helped me a lot to recover so that I could finally finish the 5 miles in the last five state parks.
Well, I think in one of them, I think it was the Bigfoot Beach, which was really early on. You talk about all of the changes that happened in your life.
Yeah.
The previous, you know, the past 10 years.
Right, right. Just a lot of things, getting divorced and having an empty nest and losing my job and all those things, retiring, yeah.
So, and you made a lot of changes at that point. I mean, other than those that...
Yeah.
You know, you went to, let's see, you changed your name.
Yeah, changed my name, yeah. And then during COVID, I dyed my hair blue so I could fight against the invisibility of getting old. So
I kind of like that, the way you look at it, because you talk, you're making changes. And it, one of the things that you talk about in the book, as we get older, is the business of feeling kind of invisible.
Yeah, yeah. We're not given as much attention, especially as women, when we get older. And I think a lot of times because there's so much ageism that society discounts people as they get older. Like they have a stereotypical view of what we are. And so that's one of the things, the blue hair makes people have to think twice a little bit about it.
Well, you know, we should go back and explain to people sort of how your book's laid out, because there are some parts of it we haven't talked about yet, really.
Right. So each chapter is about a park, and so I include in there the trails I hiked and kind of what I was thinking about each day, and that could be anything from thinking about purging my stuff, which is one of the things you have to do as you get older, to grieving my parents, to thinking about how my body is changing and I have to adjust to that, and how am I going to keep doing what I want to do and stay healthy, and all those kind of things, all the different aspects that go along with getting older. And I talk a lot in the book about, because I was a social worker for 30 years, about the psychosocial stage that we're in when we get to be 65 until the end of our lives. And that's of integrity versus despair. And so you have to look, as you look back on your lives, and if you've ever hung out with an elder, you know they like to tell stories, sometimes the same story over and over. And it's because we're processing our lives, and telling our stories is really important. And our lore is really important to keep sharing with younger people. And that helps us search for integrity, like what things in my life did I do that made a difference in a positive way for the world, or even for just one other person? That's how we find integrity. And, you know, despair is still out there because there's the despair of aging and the inevitable result of that. And but it's really hard to hang on to those that fear of death. It's much easier to concentrate about the joy of being alive. And that's that balance that you need to find so you can keep finding purpose and meaning in your life.
Our guest today, Betsy Corbinier, and her book is a dandy. It's titled Time, Beauty, and Grief, A Hike Through Wisconsin's 50 State Parks. Thoughts on maybe aging, thoughts on hiking, give a call. The number's 800-642-1234, or you could email us the email address talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today as we talk with the author of Time, Beauty, and Grief, A Hike Through Wisconsin's 50 State Parks. The author, Betsy Corbinier, and it's great to have her with me in the studio today to talk. And questions or comments or maybe an experience to share, I hope you'll join in. The number is 800-642-1234. Email to talk@WPR.org. One part of the book I don't think you mentioned, and I'll tell you a little secret about it. It's the end of the chapter. You have questions for readers to complete their own life review. When I started reading the book, I just sort of skipped over those because I needed to read the entire book. And then I started paying a little closer attention to them. And then by the end of the book, I was thinking, even if you didn't read the book, if you took this particular questions, that, and there was always one really a thought-provoking question about your own life. Go ahead and talk about that.
Yeah, so I thought since I was doing a life review, it'd be good to sort of engage the reader in actually asking some of those questions of themselves, so that when they would go out on a hike, they could say, yeah, you know, do I have plans set for my own funeral? What kinds of things have I done to secure myself so that as I go forward, I will be able to keep doing as much as I can do? Those kind of questions that you have to think about, like, are there regrets in my life that I want to bring forward and try to reframe? Those kind of things. And I think one of the things that the questions have done is lend the book really well to be a book club book. There's a couple of book clubs in the state that are reading it right now because it's got those questions already embedded in it for book clubs to discuss then. So it makes it kind of a fun book for that.
Yeah, and I think it's it made me stop and think about certain parts of my own life that came out not only from reading the chapter, but it just caused me to think about where was my own life relating to this particular question or that one. So
yeah, like the park in Milwaukee, when I was talking about what. How can you be cool when you get to be a certain age?
That one.
That was some of the questions at the end were about how, you know, what do you find about yourself that makes you stay cool? You know, like where you feel like when you were younger and you thought you were really cool, that, you know, what part of being old is still a way to be considered cool? So that was a fun question to ask.
The Peninsula State Park, when you were in Peninsula, and Peninsula happens to be my own favorite state park.
Oh, it's just beautiful. Yeah.
It's beautiful. And I think it might be my favorite one because I have the most positive experiences. There are so many family experiences and even individual experiences at that park. And, I mean, I've been to 36 of the 50.
Oh, wonderful!
Parks over the years. So there are some that others would consider more beautiful or more fun or whatever. But I like that one, not only for its beauty but also for its the memories that I have associated with
yeah,
us.
Yeah, yeah.
You have a similar one with Kohler Andrade State Park, which I think you said was your favorite
yeah,
park.
Yeah, that's my absolute favorite is Kohler Andre, and it's because of the memories that I've had there. But I have to tell you, every park is a jewel. Like when I hiked at Natural Bridge State Park, it was a 95-degree, 95% humidity kind of day. And I started out hiking so I would end up at the Natural Bridge so I could get my 5 miles in. And by the time I got to the Natural Bridge and was under that cool archway, oh, it felt so nice to be there. I can understand why humans lived there 11,000 years ago because it's very beautiful. And just like there's a place in Council Grounds State Park where you're right on the Wisconsin River and it's really shallow and the light just sparkles off the stones. I mean, there's just so many beautiful places to see.
When you were writing about Peninsula, it also, I mean, each time you're in a park, it causes you to think about or you write about a certain topic that came to mind.
Yeah.
And you did write about stereotyping in that park. What is it about stereotyping and aging?
I don't know. It's kind of that old dogs and new tricks kind of idea yeah. that's just become this idiom that everyone believes, and it's really not something you want to internalize, because when you internalize those things, then you stop taking risks and you stop learning new things and having novel experiences, and those kind of risk-taking and taking chances on learning new things, like technology stuff, is really, really important for us to keep our brains going and keep our hearts happy as we get older. And a lot of times you'll see that kind of negative ageist stereotyping in how people speak to you. Like they use sing-song voices and call you honey and all those kind of things. And it's sort of disempowering when people do that. So you want to maintain your power as an individual as you get older and not give up your agency.
And there are some other times. You're flinty a little bit at times.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that I took from that is that friends may not stay with you forever, and that's something you have to kind of realize. And maybe you could talk about that whole business with friendships at long-time friendships when you get to be in a particular age.
Yeah, because what you want from your life and how you want to feel about yourself and what boundaries that you have about what you will and won't do change over your lifetime. And I think that as you get older, it's really important to become even more true to yourself than you ever were. Not to be sort of, well, I'll do this just to keep the peace kind of an idea, that you have to keep your internal peace and make that the most important thing. So sometimes that means letting go of people that have been in your life for a long time. And that's important for you to be able to do those things because this is the last part of your life, and you want it to be authentic for yourself.
Yeah, and when you're 65, okay, it is. It's sort of the retirement age, but it sure as the heck doesn't have to be the end of your life.
Oh, no. Oh, no. And it's like, I'm not an elite hiker by any means. You know, I'm a slightly overweight old woman, and I get out there, and I hike, and I enjoy it, and I was just out on the Jurassic Coast of England in May hiking, and I was, in the group, I was always like one of the last people getting to where we were supposed to go, but that doesn't matter. What matters is you're out there doing it and just enjoying it and appreciating nature and being out in beauty.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with just stopping and looking around when you're on a hike, and you tend to... You write very well about little things that you see along the way.
Yeah, it's important to experience where you are. And especially when I was hiking all the parks, I did it in about 13 months. I was hoping for 12, but it ended up to be 13. And I knew a lot of them I would not go back to again. So I really wanted to just slow down and experience them. And some of the parks, to get in the 5 miles, I had to walk, because they only had maybe 1 or 2 miles of trails, I would have to walk in one direction and then walk in the other direction. And it was kind of became an analogy of aging, too. Like, sometimes you start off going somewhere and then you're like, nah, that's not going to work. I'm going to have to turn around and try a different thing. And, hey, look what I found doing this, you know. So it was like at Rocky Arbor, I did that, hiked in one direction and then hiked back around the other direction. And when I went around the other direction, I found a big flowering of orchids that I hadn't seen the first time around. So you just find different magical things when you're out.
I kind of like going back back and forth through something in the opposite direction, because I invariably find things this on the return trip that,
yeah,
I wonder how I missed that the first time around.
I know. It's kind of fun.
Well, there are so many things. Marion Madison has something that she wants to bring up. So let's go there. Mary, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hello. Thank you. What was your favorite animal encounter in the state parks?
Oh, I saw a porcupine at Whitefish Dunes. And that was very synchronistic, because I was loving being there. It was such an amazing park. And I thought, I'm going to stay and hike like 8 miles here. And then I started thinking, oh, I better not. I got a really long drive home. So I ended up cutting it short and taking a different trail than I had planned on. And I walked right upon this little baby porcupine just sitting on right next to the trail. And so I stopped and just watched her for, gosh, 15, 20 minutes before she wandered back off into the forest. And if I hadn't come upon her right then, I would have never seen her, because once she wandered into the grass, then she just disappeared.
Yeah, well, that's pretty cool. And that's one of the finds at a state park that you're not going to see very often. I've only seen porcupines a couple of times in my whole life.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, Mary, it was really wonderful.
So, you know, we're not covering everything here. There's so many things that you address. Living alone, since I'm someone who lives alone most of the time, again, you know, the kid will come home and that once in a while, but there are, you ruminate on many things about your life, but that are useful for anybody, and one of them was living alone.
Yeah, and just being, you have to always, it's again that integrity versus despair idea, like, am I okay with my aloneness, and then can I entertain myself and keep myself from boredom and keep myself from feeling sad and lonely? Or am I going to just let myself be lonely and not do things to make myself rise out of that? So that's always that balance that you have to find.
But you seem to have found that pretty well.
Yeah, I still struggle with it on occasion. But, you know, I think that for the most part, I keep myself pretty happy, so.
Well, I think you do, and you do like painting your nails and all the rest of it to make yourself stand out and,
yeah, not to be so invisible. Yeah.
So, and there are downsides, of course, to living alone, and you go through those as well, and you even talk about dating.
Yeah, talking about dating sometimes. Yeah, that's always it's hard. When I talk to young people, it's hard for them. So, and I remember when I was younger, it was difficult. So it still remains difficult as an older person as well.
And I thought you had some good comments about, your own experiences where somebody you realized right away, and this came up in our segment just before yours about dating, where you realize right away this person is not ready to start a dating.
Yeah, and, you know, having been a therapist for so long, it's like, nah, I don't want to do it for free, you know.
Well, it's full of, your book is just full of comments and stories that are very well told. And we get the pleasure of learning about every one of the state parks with some nice drawings.
Right.
And I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us today, Betsy. It's been a real pleasure. The time flew by.
Well, thank you, Larry. And just so everyone knows, if you do go to a state park and you like it, please donate to the Friends of the Park. I pledge to donate 20% of the proceeds from my book to the Friends of Wisconsin State Parks. And I've been able to give over $500 so far, so it's really wonderful.
It's been great talking with you, and I hope you get a chance to pick up a copy of Betsy's book. It's titled Time, Beauty, and Grief, A Hike Through Wisconsin's 50 State Parks. And it's not only about the parks, as you just learned in our conversation, but a lot of other things that are quite useful. What they were to me, and they probably will be for you as well. Big thanks to Clara Neipert and Joel Patenaude, Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins of our team, our executive producer, Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks again for listening. Stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.